earlier this year,
how many remember earlier this year, there was a bizarre actor, you know him by name, I'm sure, who made a huge deal, and it was basically on a wild cocaine-fueled ride. He said, I'm into winning. Remember?
Yeah.
Winning. And he said he had tiger blood in him. Thank God we've got the blood of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the blood of Jesus that covers us. I don't know what blood he was dealing with. How many remember who he was? You remember?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Charlie Sheen.
There you go, Charlie Sheen. Into winning, winning, winning. Now today is Super Bowl Sunday. And there are two teams going to duke it out on this field. And they are into winning. Now it should be remembered that if they even got there, none of them are losers. They're winners all the way around. But they're into winning. How many thank God that Jesus Christ is better than anything going to be played out on a football field today? But today's Super Bowl 46 has an awful lot riding on it. The people who sell avocados say that 8 million pounds of guacamole are going to be consumed this afternoon. To scoop all that up, 14,500 tons of chips will be wolfed down. Last year, just based on last year, they figured 28 million pounds of crisps were eaten. 1 billion chicken wings were eaten. And then the other funny statistic is that 7 million reportedly did not show up Monday for work. Is it any wonder? The average ticket goes in excess of $3,500 on the secondary market for a Super Bowl ticket. The face value of most tickets go between $800 and $1,200. Tickets for the Super Bowl number one, it wasn't called Super Bowl number one, but back in the day, could have been purchased for $6. $8.6 billion, another statistic, another record said that $10 billion will be bet on today's game. By more than 200 million people all around the world. It's the biggest one-day sporting event of the entire year. A 30-second ad. How many heard this? It was announced yesterday or the other day on the news. How many know how much a 30-second commercial, TV commercial? How much? $3.5 million for a 30-second ad. The first Super Bowl, the ads cost $42,000. That's an increase of 8,333%. What's that? Okay. 44% of women watch the Super Bowl for the
commercials.
That's right. 31% of men watch for the commercials. How many in this room watch again? Let me see a show of hands. Watch for the commercials. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, but listen, you guys, I won't stay all day on the Super Bowl, thank God, but by the time they're done evaluating every statistic, every passing yard by the quarterbacks, Eli Manning or Tom Brady, every single iota of minutia that can be gathered from every facet of the game, when it's all said and done, when it's all over, when it's all gone, nobody's life will have been changed for eternity. When it's all said and done. One group goes home feeling like a winner. Another group goes home feeling like a loser. But they've all gotten there because they're winners. By the way, just one more thing. The league pays for 150 rings at $5,000 per ring for the winners. Now, the owners kick in a bunch of other cash if they want to add more gold and diamonds. But $5,000 per ring. The league also pays for 150 rings for the losers. And they, by their rules, cannot cost more than half of the winner's rings. But when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, even they carry home a ring and some memories, some bragging rights. At the end of the day, if you're right with Jesus, you carry home eternity in your heart. At the end of the day, if your relationship with Jesus is as it should be, you're free from sin, you know the Word of God, He's written it in your heart and in your mind, you've become a little bit more like Him by taking time to be in the house of God. I'm glad I was here with you this morning to worship Jesus. Because you chose to do something that has eternal value today. Turn to each other and say, Jesus has put eternity in your heart. I want to talk this morning about true winning, true winning. And I want you to turn to a scripture, if you would. Pull your Bibles out. If you don't have a Bible, there'll be others around here who can help you find one. Slip up your hand if you need one. But open your Bible, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and don't put it up yet, Pat, thanks, because I'd like you to see it out of your own scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Now this morning, a little more preaching oriented, but typically what I will do and what we will do here on Sunday mornings is take the Word of God, learn from it, what was the culture, the background, the perspective, the Hebrew or the Greek, what's the meaning of the tense, and how does it apply to us today? We'll do some of that today as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Are you all there? Run in such a way, say it with me please, that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become, say it with me, please, disqualified. Now, this is dealing with the pentathlon, and that race began, or that event in their Greek games began with a foot race. It also had boxing as part of it. And so you find the Apostle Paul using these illustrations and extrapolating spiritual principles for us to grow by and an attitude of his daily walk with the Lord. You can put them up now, please, Pat. Thank you so much. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 through 27. Now I want to read it from the Message. If you'll look up there, it's up there if you don't have it in front of you. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold, say it with me please, eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it, say it with me please, everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in the top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Now nudge your neighbor, look at your neighbor, punch him in the arm, say, no napping. All right. Now, the Greeks developed the Olympian Games, and the Olympics are how often? Every 4 years. Now, on the Isthmus, where Corinth is, they had a game every 2 years. It was called the Isthmian Games. These were the second most important games to them, held every 2 years at Corinth. Athletes would come from all over the known world, from all over Greece, and the winners were given the highest honors. They were paraded before everyone else. And to get into the games, especially to be a victor, required that these athletes practice the utmost in strictest self-control. Typically, they began conditioning for 10 months before the games. And they were determined to be able to not only get in and to qualify, but to win. But they began conditioning and denying themselves ordinary pleasures beginning 10 months before these games. They put forth the greatest efforts at these contests. They set aside everything to win. And they ran for a wreath of leaves. At the Isthmian Games, it was a pine tree leaves. How many understand there's a more important crown to win in life? Paul uses, again, this illustration. Now, it's not just in Scripture and in our lives as believers, it's not just one who can win this race. Today, at the Super Bowl, one team's going to win. in a foot race, one person wins. And in the race of life, each of us has a race God has called us to win, and each of us can win our race. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Look at each other and say, you look pretty fast this morning. Now look at him. Now the other person will look back and say, don't lie to me. Good. All right. How do we do this? How do we win this race? How do we run our race? How do we win? How do we accomplish this? Three simple factors this morning I'm going to give you. Number one, the right uniform. Say it with me. The right uniform. How many know the San Francisco 49ers ended up with a pretty darn good year? Anybody follow football around here? How many could care less? Okay, my illustration stinks this morning, but the 49ers had a really great year. But I tell you what, there ain't nobody in a 49er uniform getting on the Super Bowl field today. Nobody, but nobody with a 49er uniform is going to go down on that field and see any action. Because it's the wrong uniform. Only those with the right uniform are participating today. You got to get the right clothes. Let's take a look. There's a few sub-points here. The garments of salvation. Isaiah 61, verse 10. Garments of salvation. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the, we sang about it this morning, robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. There's clothing that are right for the occasion. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Again, if you want to turn to it, you're welcome to. They're also up here, Galatians 3, 27. I'm going to do it from three different versions here this morning. The New King James says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." What does that mean? Verse 27 out of the New American Standard Bible. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have," say it with me please, "clothed yourself with Christ." Out of the New Living. "And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ," like putting on new clothes. They used to say clothes make the man. That was in the day before your jeans could hang down to your knees. Baggy shirts. But there was something professional about the garments. In some denomination, priests wear certain garb and priestly garments and collars, etc. It was a statement about the position. I have my church boots on. And I have my dress jeans on. I can't wait to get home to get into my comfortable jeans. But I have to dress this way for you. No, I'm kidding. Okay, but there's a certain garment, a certain set of garments that some denominational backgrounds wear. The Bible tells us that there are clothes that we put on when we give and surrender our lives to Jesus. We exchange, the Bible says, our filthy garments of sin and put on His robes of righteousness. We used to do banners at the church in Pullman, just like some of these banners, but great big massive banners. And there was one that was Jehovah Sidkenu, wasn't it? Jehovah Sidkenu. It was a picture, a shadow of Jesus putting this beautiful robe on this believer's around their shoulders. And it was putting on, Jesus puts on us the robe of righteousness. How many are glad Jesus forgives you of sin? Come on, are you glad this morning? He washes you clean. If you go to Jesus and get forgiveness, there's nowhere else in life you can get forgiveness. You can go to some religions where they tell you a lot of works to do. You can grab an egg, a hard-boiled egg, push it around the parking lot with your nose for 14 laps. You still won't be forgiven. But when you go to Jesus and you say, "Wash me clean by the blood you shed for me at Calvary. Forgive me, Lord." He washes you clean and you're washed and free. Aren't you glad you're free? Come on, aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
Come on, honey, say it out loud.
I'm glad.
Oh, good.
Louder, honey.
Okay. We have fun in church, please. All right, okay. So there's a taking off, a putting off, the Bible says, and it's the Greek understanding of the words and the phrases. You put off sin and you put on righteousness. Let's see it played out in the Old Testament. Watch this. Robes of righteousness. Zechariah chapter 3, 1 through 4. Zechariah 3, verses 1 through 4. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest. Now in the scriptures, in the Hebrew, the name Joshua corresponds in the Greek to the name Jesus. All right? So some say this could be Jesus and a pre-incarnation of Christ that they're talking about. But what I want you to watch is what happens in this section of Scripture. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to what? Anybody ever feel any opposition in your life? And the angel, and the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now, can anybody else in the room agree with me that sometime, somewhere in your life, you felt like you were pretty close to the fire? Yep. Anybody ever been tempted in this room? Yeah. Come on, let's see the show of hands. Raise them up high. You sinners, what are you doing? No, you're here. You're here because we know we've been tempted. We know we've had problems. But we're like a firebrand plucked from the fire. Jesus comes along and he says, "I'm going to save you from being burnt up by your sin." Now, if you look at me this morning, say, I never sinned. I had a teacher once who did, but I never sinned. The Bible says, and I love you, but the Bible says if that's your attitude, you're a liar. Because if you think you have no sin, then that's a lie. So we're all like these people clutched and saved by Jesus from burning ourselves up in sin. I don't know about you. I got saved because I needed to. I gave my life to Jesus because I needed him. I wasn't a bank robber. But I had committed sins in my life for which I could not feel forgiven. Condemnation. Shame. And let me tell you what the devil loves to do. He loves to hang around you and speak into your ear, "You're awful. You did it. You creep. You think no one knows. You're a bad person." You're all looking at me so holy and sanctimonious. I've never been through that. We get condemned and we feel like we're of no good, of no use. How can the Lord use us now? But when you come under the blood of Jesus and he washes you clean and he comes and he lives in your heart and he's your Redeemer, he's your Savior, he washes you up, sets you up, pulls you out of the fire, stands you up and say, "Huh, you're my kid." Did you hear that prophetically this morning? You're mine and I love you. That's like what's going on in this scripture. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And he said, "See, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." Who can say thank God that he took your filthy garments from you? Sin makes you unclean. You feel unclean. How do you get rid of it? It's like trying to wash your hands off. Ever had a dye or something get on your hands? You just can't get it off. Oh, well, I guess I'm going to have to wear that off over the next year. Ever been, anybody in this room ever been sprayed by a skunk? I was going to say something. No, I'm kidding. No, but man, how do you get rid of it? Oh, my gracious. It clings to you. That's what sin does. It clings to you. I can't get rid of this stench. I can't get rid of this odor. No matter how good I try to act, I can't get rid of it. Thank God. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from how much? All unrighteousness. So the devil and sin, the devil accuses us night and day, the Bible says, before God, but Jesus has put him down. You go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, you see how God casts him down. And the devil accuses God's people night and day. Robes of righteousness. How about the wedding garment? The wedding garment, Matthew 22, verses 11 through 14 tell a story about a man who called a wedding for his kids. And he asked people to come, and someone come, and he went out into the highways and byways, and they found people and brought him in. But everybody's there. Now, historically, culturally, those who held the wedding would hand out wedding garments. And so you would come in, and you would put on the wedding garment, and you would celebrate with the family. And in this passage of Scripture, we see where the host comes along and he sees somebody sitting there who doesn't have on his wedding garments. And he said, "How did you get in here, friend?" And the Bible says he casts him into outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth. Wow. No, I wasn't going to say that. Because he didn't put on the garment. When Jesus forgives you, put on the robe of righteousness. Don't turn away from it. Don't walk away from it. Allow the forgiveness to be yours. All you have to do is put it on. Shame. Condemnation can wrap you tight. But now you're washed clean by the blood of Jesus with a new garment. Jesus gives us the right uniform if we just put it on. Let's just go quickly through this. Romans 3, verse 23. Well, Pastor Kevin, this doesn't apply to me. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. John 14, 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus says that. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. John 3, 16 and 17. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10. Verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Put on the right uniform. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, this is your day. Come on up. Let's pray together afterwards and surrender, officially give your life to Jesus and put on new robes of righteousness and leave here without condemnation, without shame, and you got the right uniform on to truly win. The armor of God, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. I'm not going to go through all that, just a couple of verses. Verses 11 through 13. Put on more clothes. What is this all about? Putting on the right uniform, the right clothes. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Say it with me, please. And having done all, to stand. There's a complete uniform He gives you. If you're going to go out into battle, you're not going to go out naked, right? You're going to put on the right kind of armaments and the right kind of uniform and the right kind of battle gear in order to go out and have victory. The right clothes. Number two, the right mind. Turn to each other and say, now, you got to be in the right mind. All right. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars are spent every year on psychologists and counselors and psychiatrists and people who are into sporting events like today. They're full of anxiety and they will spend thousands upon thousands on sports counselors and psychiatrists. Pastor Carl used an old phrase a long time ago. We repeated a lot around here. What you believe determines how you live. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you're going to play in the big game, you've got to have your right mind. And you got to protect your mind. Your thoughts are crucial. What you believe is crucial. The warfare and the attack of demonic hordes and the devil today is in the mind. You know, it was 20 years ago, do you remember hearing about all these husbands going home and killing the wife and all the children and then killing themselves? Did you hear that all that much 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years? You didn't hear about all this stuff. Do you know what happens? And then they interview the person that worked with him. Well, I thought Charlie was a great guy. There was no problem with Charlie. You know what happened to Charlie? Charlie one day, one moment, got the wrong demonic kind of thoughts going in his head. And one day, I love my spouse. And the next day, I don't like the spouse. I think we should get a divorce. Where do you think those thoughts come from? They come from hell itself and from the devil and from demonic hordes. So you gotta put on the helmet of salvation, the Bible says. You gotta have the right helmet on. Now, if you read anything about the evolution of helmets in football, when they used to play the game, they didn't have any helmets. There were a lot of broken teeth and broken noses and broken heads. And then they went to this leather kind of cap, little tiny padding, still broken teeth, broken noses, broken heads. And finally, they started to go into polymers and plastics. And that's been evolving over the years. You remember you used to see one bar across the face mask? Now you see multiple bars across the face mask. They outlawed the one bar, I believe it was in 2004. But they allowed people who had always played with that to continue through the rest of their career. But now you see multiple bars. Now you see visors. They even have discovered, and they put air pockets in these helmets with pads that when the person gets hit, and they figure in a season, somebody who's getting hit like that is getting hit 2,000 times. Those pads have sensors in them that send information directly to computers so they know the angle of hit, they know the pressure of the hit, they know how much that person's been hit, and if it's a certain impact, they will pull that person out of the game to give them time to recover, or at least they're supposed to. It is a science in that helmet. God says one of the most important tools you and I can wear is the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6, 17 through 18. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you saw us take a picture this morning celebrating those who read through the Bible in a year. I urge you, whatever version you use, read the Scriptures daily. Hide the Word in your heart, the Bible says, so you will not sin against God. Wear the helmet and keep the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. But we have, please say it with me, the mind of Christ. Let me give you a couple more simple thoughts about this, and then we'll go on. Pharmakia is the Greek word, and you come to the end of days in the Scriptures, and you see that pharmakia, drugs and drug takings, it's also translated as sorceries, are one of the marks of the last days. How many know there's problems all through our country riddled with drugs and drug taking that destroy people's minds? The devil's playground is the mind. That's why we come and read the Word of God and we get taught so our minds are cleansed by His Word. If the devil can make you think that you're too bad and of no use to him, do you know what he's got you bound in? Your past. When Moses, in Exodus 3, verse 14, said to God, "You're asking me to go get Israel out of Egypt. I'm supposed to be the deliverer. Who am I going to say sent me?" Remember, y'all with me? Who am I going to say sent me? Remember what he said? Say, "I am that I am." Say what? "I am." Say it with me. Say, "I am." Say it louder. "I am." Say it one more time. "I am." This side's there, real loud. Boom it out. This side's there, real loud. Boom it out. Middle, you just get to stand there and watch. All right. He didn't say, "Go tell him I was." He didn't say, "Go tell him I was." Now, we know God has always existed. But what am I here to tell you? Your past is gone and it's under the blood of Jesus. Let it lay. Don't let the devil throw it back at your face. If you've made mistakes, if you've blown it, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Someone say amen. Amen. I am has sent me. The God of the present who has put you right where He has you. Some of you think, I'm here, I'm retired, I'm of no use to God, it's over. Been there, done that, and God says, oh, wait a minute. I got you right where I got you, doing right what I want you to do. Just be what I want you to be. You go, I can't do anything big. Hey, look, a little boy one day had mom pack him a lunch. Two loaves and a couple of, or two fishies and a couple of loaves of bread. And he went to this meeting. He said, hey, you know, there's this guy named Jesus down the road. There's a whole bunch of people. I want to go see what's happening, just like little kids do. And that little lunch that he brought along with him was used to feed thousands of people. And God did a miracle because a little boy's mom packed him a lunch that he just happened to haul along to the meeting with him. What can you do? Anything that the I Am wants you to do, you can do. Covered by the blood of Jesus. In love with the I Am. Number three, the right effort. The right uniform. The right mind. The right effort. Exercise your full heart energy. Run to win your race. Run for your life change, your mind change. Be His in thought, in mind, in deed, and in purpose. Paul focused on a goal, and he said, I'm spending my energies, my life, my daily effort to be everything God wants me to be. That's what I want to do. Truly winning. I want to please Jesus today. And when I get up tomorrow, I want to please Him tomorrow. And the next day, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or that I'm already perfected, but I, what? Press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, say it with me please, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Watch it out of the message. I'm not saying I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal. Where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running. And I'm not turning back. The Apostle Paul had been saved for 30 years before he wrote this verse. 30 years later, he's still reaching. He's still moving. He's still going forward. Last week was the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl is the most hyped game nobody likes to watch and cares much about. But Green Bay Packers quarterback Adrian Rodgers, how many saw what he said this week about the Pro Bowl? He was disgusted. Not with the other team. He was disgusted with his own team members, and he chided them publicly because he had always been taught that no matter what the game, you came to play your best. And he chided his fellow team members, many of whom who went to Hawaii to play but not play in the game, who did not give it their best. They didn't come to show up, suit up, and play up. He said, several of them said to him, well, we only give half an effort because we don't want to get injured. You know what his answer was? You play full out. You have less injuries when you play full out than when you play half speed. Church, we've gathered to play full out. To run after the Lord. Full out. To be what He wants us to be. Oh, we sing some songs some of you might not know, and there's some gifts of the Spirit, and there's the Word of God, and the pastor wears crazy cowboy boots. What we've come to do is allow Jesus to change us, move on us, and make us more like Him, so that we can do our part in helping to bring, as He prayed, His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. How many in this room want to be like Jesus? Amen. How many know you're not quite there yet?
Oh, yeah.
But you want to keep going.
That's right.
Would you stand with me? What does it mean to truly win? To truly win. It means you got to be in the right uniform. How do you get there? Be in the right uniform and have the right mind and put in the right effort, to know you're on the winning team. Elaine, would you come, please? I'm going to finish with one scripture. This same Paul who taught us these verses concluded his life, or toward the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, all these metaphors, running and boxing and doing everything he could. Watch what he said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering," as he concluded his days in a jail cell, calling for Timothy to come and join him. "The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." How many in this room love the appearing of Jesus? Father, we thank you for being so good to us, allowing us to be yours, putting us on your team, putting on the robes of righteousness, giving us a new mind so we have the mind of Christ. And Lord, we're here to respond to you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to put in the right effort. Bless each one as they go out of this place today. Lord, we thank you for being such a great God. We love you so much because you first loved us. Lord, I pray you'd bless each one who's taken their time to come here this day. Let them go knowing they've met with you. They've been a little more shaped into your image by your Spirit and by your Word. We thank you that we strengthen one another in the presence of the Lord, and we have this freedom in which we gather. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you, come on forward and we'll pray together. As you do that, it'll be the greatest day of your life if you haven't done that yet. If you need healing in your body, I urge you to come forward. We believe the Lord heals according to the Scriptures, and we'll be honored to pray for you. Have a fantastic day and week in the Lord as you go forth. God bless you. Be released.